Okay, I've got two questions which I think are quite. Are we almost all us in already? Almost? Not quite. A few more. Okay, we'll just have a few minutes more. When you want to ask me to comment on the questions that you have raised, then you cite a text. You got to cite it very carefully. For example, cited 1 Timothy 11 and 12. Problem is that there are only six chapters. So 11 and 12, there are no 11th and 12th chapters. So your text is not correct. So I'm not sure what you are asking. But if you, so I read all the 11th and 12th verses and see which one would fit, just to see maybe chapter 1, 11, 12, 2, 11, 12, 3, 11, 12, and just to check and see whether we've got all that right. Okay, so I'm just going to take a bit of time to answer that, to look at these things. Because some of those things are not exactly what it is. The only one that is probably like it is the issue of whether women can be pastors or not. That's about the only one that fits into the 11th and 12th. All the rest, no, probably no problem along those lines. I'm just going to read that for you anyway so that we can get a right picture. If you want to take it up again and write and then, to give the correct text, that might be helpful. But right now, I don't have the correct text, so I can't tell you what exactly it is that you are asking about. Okay? So that's important for us to think about and where we want to look at these things here. All right? So some of those questions are going to be very useful for you to think about, and they are practical issues, and they are things that you need to look at very, very, very carefully. Okay? So let's look at the scriptures very carefully, correctly, and then you understand this a little bit more. Okay. We've got 9 o'clock now, so we're going to begin and then ask the Lord to give to us wisdom. Father, we thank you for this third day, and we can have questions add and discuss very carefully. We pray that you will give to us that wisdom to understand things which are from the scriptures, things which are from you, things which are good and right. Give us wisdom, discernment, we pray. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, now you take a look at this question. This first question is it a sin to be part of the LGBTQ+ community? Now, I'm glad you are opening up this question for yourself, and I think that is more and more LGBTQ+, because they're going to add some more stuff inside. The question is, what is this community? Right? Let's not talk about this idea of sin or not. Let's talk about what is this all about first. Right? I mean, some people think that, it's a matter of choice, it's a matter of preference. Sometimes people think it's a matter of you are born like that. It's almost as if it's a matter of creation. Now, that is the big issue. How do we understand this properly? Right? Well, you have been reading, in youth worship concerning an incident that happened. In the book of Genesis, in 18 and 19, we see this very clearly understood. Okay? But let's go back to it so that we can look at what we have read in the scriptures very carefully. And then, of course, today, our topic is on the subject of the Word of God. What is that all about? What is it we want to? Okay, let's look at chapter 18. Right? So, in chapter 18, and we read, right? And the Lord said, verse 20, okay? And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great. Now, watch this very carefully. Some people are going to defend this as one perspective, right? What about the other perspective, right? There are people who are against, with an outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah. Can you see? Don't see only one perspective. See both perspectives, right? And then we look at how God is going to be the judge on this matter here. Right? So there are people who belong to, if the LGBTQ is not just a recent thing, it has been there since the days of Abraham. It's not a new thing. Don't see it as it's a new fad. It's not. It's been there. Now, so that is A. Look at B. First, there is a huge outcry against them. Right? And let's take a look at these things here. I hope you understand what I mean by outcry. See, take for example, the newspapers recently came, but it's not the first time. There is a woman, and she is paralyzed, or she is unable to defend herself. So what happens? She's lying in bed all the time. And here comes a person who is an attendant, right? And rapes her. And then she becomes pregnant. And she is really unable to do anything besides lying down there. Can you understand what I'm trying to say? Is it valid to have an outcry or not? Right? Is it right that we speak up against people like that? Now, you see what I'm trying to say? A right and wrong thing? Right? So this was an outcry. And two, the Lord said, grave sin. Now, we don't know what the grave sin is yet. So, here comes Abraham. And so he said to the Lord, okay, I'm going to ask you, would you destroy the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Right? Now, why is it called Sodom? Right? Think about it. Why is it called Sodom? And this is associated with LGBTQ. Why is this a crime is called sodomy? Why is this considered a crime in our law courts? Think about this. It's been there for hundreds of years, not just a recent event. It's not a recent law. Right? Now, you think about these things here. Right? Now, we go on further. This is the grave sin. Now, how is God going to judge? So Abraham pleads. Okay, you God, don't be upset if I ask you. Supposing there are 50 people in this place here, 50 people, right? Would you spare them? God said, okay, I will spare them. How many people are living in Sodom and Gomorrah? We don't know, right? So let us say that there are 20,000 people who stay there, or maybe even 10,000 people who stay there. 50 is not much, right? It's a very small percentage. Okay, 45, 40, okay, 10. 10 is about the smallest number you can get. Very small number. And God said, if I can find 10 people, I will spare Sodom and Gomorrah. Right? Now, watch this very carefully. Now, look at chapter 19. Look at chapter 19 and we'll see this. Okay, so two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting there at the gate. And so the two men were out there, no place to stay. And then they said, "Oh no, we will spend the night here in the open square." So Lot insisted strongly, "Please come to my house," right? And the word is strongly. And so they went to his house. And he entertained them well. He gave them a feast. He baked bread for them and they ate. Now watch this, verse 4. Before they went to lie down, before they lay down, the men of the city, okay, the men of Sodom, young, old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. Right? And then we read, and they call to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Right? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally." What does that mean? Guys, think about this. Okay? You just think really hard about this. Right? Two guys of you go out to a strange city, and all the men, old and young, want to bring you out to rape you. What do you think? What do you think? Is that a normal thing? Is that a good thing? You want to be part of this community? Are you serious? They are very open. They're very frank. They're very crude, they're very rude about it. Bring them out. We want to know them carnally. In other words, sexually. What did these two guys do to you? Nothing. They are passers-by, they are strangers, and they are there. What are you going to do about that? Right, I hope you understand this. And this is really something we need to think about. Right? So Lord went out and he said, "Please," now watch verse 6, "please do not do so wickedly." Now, Lord is not very good or wise at this point of time, but you know what? He said, "Okay, how about I give you my two daughters? They have not known a man." In other words, they're virgins. Okay, would you like to take them? And then he said, "You may do to them as you wish." What are you saying? And we read, the people say, "Stand back." Okay, and so they began to criticize Lot. "This one came to stay here and he keeps acting as a judge." You see? Today, if we were to take a stand, people would say, "Well, you are judging." They're going to say, "Unless you are for us, you are judging." No, we are not judging. Right? We just don't agree with you. This does not mean we are judging. Well, there it is. See, the hostility is there already. Now, think about this thing here, right? So, while we go on further, and they said, "We will deal worse with you than with them." In other words, they also threaten Lot, right? "We're not interested in your daughters," right? "After we are done through with the two men, we are going to deal with you too." Come on. This is Lot, an old man, with two grown-up daughters, and they threatened him. "We will do this to do worse things to you." Now, what kind of community is that? Why would we want to be part of that community? No sense of justice, no sense of right or wrong. They just want their way. You step in their way, They are harsh on you. They speak against you. They push back. You want to be part of that community? Would you? What community is that? Can you see what I'm trying to get at? No, take a look further. All right? And so what they so they press hard against the man Lot. One. They came near to break down the door. These guys can be very violent, let me tell you. If they can't get their way and they are going to hold placards, they are going to go to the whatever it is, Parliament House, and they do all kinds of things. Why? Seriously, why? Because you can't have your way, therefore you resort to this. That's it. Are you serious? You want to be part of that community? Let's not talk about sin. Let's talk about sense. Think about this. Now we go on further. Right? And here they were. The men, the angels reach out their hands, pull Lot into the house, shut the door. Right? And there they were. And you know what? The angels struck them with blindness. You would imagine, my goodness, I can't see. You would pause. You would think twice. They did not think twice. Look at what they continued to do. Right? Small and great, they were still trying to find the door. In other words, they were still trying to break in. You want to be part of that community? Right? Now, here comes God judging. Now, we are looking. All the men, old and young. Whole community, 10 people. Can you even find 10 people in that community? Okay? Now, this is something that you want to think about very, very carefully. Well, we know the story. So the angel said, okay, hurry, verse 15, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, okay, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city. God had come down, sent his two angels to personally check out the two cities. What? So they went down there obediently to check it out. On the way, when they were there, they were literally, can you imagine 50, 60, 100, what? How many people were there, the men? 500? We are talking about gang raping people like this. That is that community that we are talking about. Does God have a right to judge them? Based on what? Their wickedness, their violence, right? You name it. The injustice that is there, everything that could be wrong. Does God have a right to judge them? You think about this, right? So, this is where we want to go on. Now, let's quickly turn over to Romans chapter 1. And we'll see how this Apostle Paul wrote about this matter. Okay? So let's look at chapter 1 and we read about how, verse 24. And this is an important word that you need to look at very carefully. So God gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. In other words, if you insist on this, God is not going to stop you, but God is going to give you up. Think about this, right? God is going to give you up. Let me go on. To do what? To dishonor their bodies among themselves. Right? Now, we think about dishonor. Then we read in verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. First, the women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, the men, having the natural use of the woman, burn in their lust one for another. Men with men committing what is shameful. And then receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Now that is the description of what is this all about. Since, you see, they don't like to talk about God. The moment you sin against it, you are homophobic. See, they know how to use names. They use titles to try and capture you. Oh, you're homophobic. Anything that they have a name for it. Right? And then we feel that, I'm not. But listen, I tell you what I am. Right? I have the highest regard for God and His word and truth and what the scriptures say. And here I stand. I'm not against anybody. I'm just for the scriptures. What are you for? Think about this. What do you stand for? I stand for not what human beings say or don't say. What humans being judged or don't judge. What am I standing for? What the scriptures teach us, what God says in His word. Think about this, okay? Since they do not like to retain God in their knowledge, right? So what is it? That God will give them up, give them up, same word, right? Same meaning, same word, to give them over to a debased mind. To do things which are not fitting. Right? So the whole list of all these things here. Verse 32. Knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. They not only do the same, they approve of those who practice them. Am I going to be part of a community that approves of that which God calls wrong? No way. Call me whatever you want. It doesn't matter. I don't care what people call me. All I want is to know, if God were to judge me, how would God judge? Now, this becomes clear. So 18, God tells Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. Chapter 19, two angels are sent there. They are threatened. They were nearly violated. Imagine, guys, okay, think about yourself. How would you like it if 500 men are going to rape you? Think hard. You want to be part of that community? Are you serious? Right? We are going to leave God to do the judgment. Right? We're not going to do anything more than simply say what it is. Do I want to be part of that community that will endorse and encourage that which the scriptures say is wrong, not fitting, is wicked, not natural? Think about this. Right? Now, you have to think through this very carefully and ask yourself, what does that mean? Does it mean that we are going to end up not being friends? You know, to me, so be it. Not going to happen. Because I know what the scriptures say or don't say. Now, this is exactly what we are going to be learning today, actually. And I want to bring this to you so that we can see this very, very clearly. All right, let's look at today's text now. What we have been doing the last few days, okay, 2 days, and then the third day today, what are we looking at? And that is important for us to be very, very clear on this matter here. We have been reading Genesis. The key person is the life of Abraham. That's the American way of shortening the name of Abraham. Right? Now, three things stand out about his life. One, this man was a man who worshiped God. This stands out about his life. The first day, Monday, we talk about his worship of God. And you know what characterizes a person's life? One, worship is a very real characteristic part of Abraham's life. Right? It's something that we need to look at. Okay? B. Can you see this? He did not only offer worship for a moment. He decided that he will walk before God. Right? So he planned his life. This is the way I'm going to walk. In other words, this is the way I'm going to live my life. And so his life became characteristically walking consciously, God watching him, walking before God. Right? Now, today we're going to look at the third characteristic of his life. Right? Now, this is important. I ask myself, in next year, we'll be celebrating our 50th year. Right? So we're looking at the 48, 49, 50th year. So I ask myself, what would be characteristic of my life too? I would like to say, yes, worship is a very real part of my life. I want to be able to say, yes, walking before God is a very real thing of my life. And then the third aspect, which I very, very much want to say a part of my life is the Word of God. Right? It's not everybody who can say, okay, you ask yourself, what characterizes your life? Is that worship? No. It could be friends. It could be games. It could be study. It could be whatever. But it may not be worship. So what characterizes your life? For Abraham, obvious is worship because this was his response to God. Okay, two. After he got to know God, no point just wanting to know God. It's got to be a real part of his life. He wants to walk before God. What else about his life may we say? Well, this is the third part which we're going to study today. And the third part is that the Word of God meant a lot to Abraham. Right? So if there are three things that we want to work out in your life, in your young life, what three things would stand out in your life? Right? For some people, food. For some people, friends. For some people, fun. Right? That's your three F's. Now, here is three W's. Worship, walk, word. What's yours? Think about this. What's yours? Right? So today we are going to take a look at this whole idea of the Word of God. Now, take for example, Genesis 12, right? And verse 1. Let's go back to Genesis again. These are things we've been looking at, we've been studying. And the Lord said to Abram, right? So then the Word will tell you, the Word said will tell you that this is called a word spoken, right? Obviously. Can you see? So what was the first thing that characterized, not worship was the first one, we just highlighted it. What really came from God to Abram was the Word. And this Word is said. Right? So if you want to say something, what comes out? Obviously a word. Right? Now, this is important. In Greek, we call this the rhema. In other words, the spoken word. Later on today, we're going to look at another word called the logos. All right? It could be a written word. It could be a spoken word. It could be a living word. Right? So this is important for us. So what is it? Now, later on, we're going to say that that spoken word became the written word. But it essentially still the word. What is that all about? Well, let's take a look at this very carefully, and we'll see this a little bit more, right? So Genesis 12, 1. And then in 12, 4, we read, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Right? The idea of spoken and said, same thing. Right? So this is important. So 12, 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, there we go. See, there is a spoken word to Abram. Right? And this is important for us to understand what that is. So then in chapter 15, verse, we read, very clearly, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. So now we have the word of God came to him in the form of a vision. Now, what is emerging bit by bit? Chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, bit by 16, 17, 18, 19. What's going to come through very strongly is that the word of God began to come through to Abram. Right? Now, so it can come forth. God can speak to him directly. God can give to him a vision. God can give to him a dream, one way, or God can speak to him personally, and that becomes a very real thing, right? And so we read in 15:4, behold, the word of the Lord came, and there to him, right? So very, very obviously, we have the word of God coming through. Right? This is important for us to understand today. Now, of course, we live in a different day and time from Abraham. So how does God communicate with us today? Now, that is important for us to take note of. Right? Now, so go back to yesterday's question and today's understanding as well. And this is going to be very, very very important for us to look at. Well, let's take a look, okay? How does God communicate with us today? Let's look at an epistle or a letter that the Apostle Peter wrote. And this is what he said. Let's take a look at this, okay? And this is important for us to see how this works out, right? 2 Peter, and then chapter 1. Let's take a look at this very carefully so that we can understand this very, very clearly. Okay? If you can turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, this is important. Verse 16 and following. Right? Now, this is absolutely important. This particular passage will give to us an idea of how we believe, what we believe in, and so on and so forth. That's absolutely important. Let's take a look, okay? All right, so this is important. Verse 16, we did not follow cunningly devised fables. Now, that's interesting to look at. We did not follow. Okay, so when we ask people to follow the Lord, what are we following? Now, we have every right to go and examine the basis. Examine what it is. You say, well, I talk about faith in God. How do you know that that is faith in God? How can you be sure that you're following the right thing? All right, that's important for us to consider. All right, what made Peter follow? Now, let's take a look at this very carefully. And so it says, this is what we did not follow. First disclaimer, we did not follow the cunningly devised fables. Right? We are not making up stories. Right? They were not fabled. The word fable is the word myth. This is the language of Luke chapter 1 as well. We did not follow this. Okay? When we made known to you, first, there is the power at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word coming is where we see the word. Sometimes Christmas is called Advent. All right? Advent is a Latin word for coming. The word coming is what we call Christmas. So another word for Christmas is the word Advent. This is the word in Latin that is used for the coming, the parousia of the Lord Jesus. When he first came, we call it coming. Right? We did not just follow all those fanciful myths and stories. What did we follow? Okay, now watch this very carefully. Okay, first, Peter, like Luke says he talked to people who were eyewitnesses. And Peter was an eyewitness. Witness of what? The Lord Jesus and his majesty. What was he talking about particularly? Peter recalled a time when he, together with two fellow disciples, were in a mountain. And then the Lord Jesus Christ was specially manifested to them. We call this Mount of Transfiguration. Right? And then this is what this you can read about you in Matthew 17 if you wish. Right? In Matthew 17, and he received from God the Father honor and glory, and a voice came up and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We heard this voice which came from heaven. We were with him on the holy mountain, Matthew 17. So when you have seen something outstanding, as Abraham did, God appeared to him. God spoke to him. See, Peter, the Lord spoke to them. Well, he saw the Lord Jesus manifested, right? He was gloriously, brilliantly white, with a whiteness that cannot be described. And so Peter concluded, this is what we saw. We were eyewitnesses. We cannot deny what we saw. We cannot deny what we heard. Right? This is what we are sharing with you. Then, verse 19, he went on. Right? And so we have the prophetic word confirmed. Now, what do we mean by a prophetic word confirmed? Okay? So when we read the scriptures, we are reading, okay? We call this the prophetic scriptures. Now, I would challenge you, if you can make a prediction, right? 1 year from today, 2022, same time here, what will happen? You don't know. Will there be another pandemic? You don't know. Will this pandemic end? You don't know. Will there be a greater disaster? You don't know. Nobody knows. That's it. Right? Can they predict an earthquake? The seismic thing. They have now devised it so accurately, they can tell that an earthquake is coming about 6 hours or 10 hours ahead of time. What would that do? Nothing. Can you predict something that will happen like this 100 years later? No. This is prophecy. This is called, we have a, what prophecy? Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The prophecy, there were many prophecies concerning where he was to be born. Where? Bethlehem, that he, his mother would be a virgin, Isaiah 7. Can you see what I'm trying to say? Many, many prophecies were fulfilled. Even if there are just 5 prophecies fulfilled, I would be convinced. Right? No need to be convinced. No need to look for 500. I don't need. If I have 5 clear things stated, I would know. Well, we have a prophetic word fulfilled. Now, this is important. Okay? Now, this is important for us to look at very, very carefully. Okay? So, first, we read in 19 to 21. Okay? Prophecy is not of private origination and interpretation. That's what it means. Right? If you were to write a book of prophecy and try to sell it, how many people will buy it? Maybe your father and your mother, your brother, your sister, that's it. Would I buy your book of prophecy? No, thank you. Because you know it's not going to be provable. But we have the scriptures written, and for thousands of years, people have studied it, examined it, literally, do everything you can with it. That, to me, is kind of impressive. Right? So I know that I'm not believing in something that is cunningly devised. I think that is important. Okay? Now we go on further. It is not written by the will of men. How do people write? Well, we read very clearly. Okay? This is important for us to understand. Okay? But holy men of God, they spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Right? So that's how we can be very sure that when we have the Word of God. Now, Abraham had what we call a spoken word. How many words do you speak a day? Do you know? Right? Maybe you speak 5,000 words a day. How many of those words you actually remember? Right? Your parents will tell you so many things. Don't do this, do that. Don't do this, do that. Every day they tell you the same thing. And you're fed up and you say, I know. You already told me 1,000 times. And we are fed up of those things here. And then we are just, Right? Now, God has spoken to us, revealed this to us, put this into the scriptures for us. Now, it's up to you. What do I do with it? You can, like this person asked second question, but don't know that. What if you don't agree with it? It's fine, you can disagree with it, but please tell me why you disagree with it. Right? You're going to tell me why. Don't just simply say, yeah, it's my opinion. Yeah, you can have your opinion, but please enlighten me. Why did you come to that opinion? Go ahead, tell me. Is there a reason? Seriously. A lot of people make up their minds. I don't want to be vaccinated. Why? Because I don't want to. That's a good reason? Come on. You are looking at millions of people who have died and you say, nope, I don't believe in it. What are you saying? Well, I don't believe it until I see the virus. How are you going to see the virus? Right? Okay, the studies are there. I don't believe in the studies. Why? Because I don't believe. Oh, come on. Well, we are looking at talking in circles here. Right? This is called circular reasoning. It doesn't work. Right? So let's base it upon... So Peter says, let me tell you why I base it, what I base it on. One, I base it on the fact, personally, I saw and I heard. Okay, we heard, we saw. Can't escape it. They were with the Lord Jesus Christ 3 years. And you just imagine, every single day, they see him perform miracle after miracle after miracle. How can you deny that? You can't. Right? It's either there or it's not. That's one. Right? Two, you've heard the very voice of God and you understand it. This is my beloved son. This is God's own son. God has declared him. Now, how are we going to, what are we going to do with that? You can reject it if you want to. Why? Because I reject it. You can say that. That to me, that's not very logical. It is not very sound reasoning. That's nothing very much. Are you still entitled to your opinion? Yes, of course. You can do whatever you want with your opinion. It doesn't make you right. So I want to ask myself, what is it, that prophetic word that I now am also believing in? Who are the writers? First, you check their life. These are holy men. They are not drunkards. They are not criminals. They are not wicked people. They have lived lives of righteousness. That says something about them. Right? Now, if you have a person who is a bad person, who is a liar, who is a cheater, and all that, forget about it. Right? Somebody wrote to me and said, Pastor, I would like to re-give you a book. And it's written by a man. It's called Three Cups of Tea. Oh, that's an interesting title. So I read the book, Three Cups of Tea. It's about a man who was supposed to have climbed the Himalayas. He talked about his life there and so on and so forth. And, you know, he even started a fund to raise funds to help other climbers and so forth. And, okay, that sounds interesting. So he raised up millions of dollars. So then he began to fly on private jets and things like that. The people began to examine. Did you really climb those mountains, as you said? And they found to their horror that a lot of these things are just not even true. Right? So once you have been found out that what you are saying, they're actually not facts at all, it's not true at all, and then the funds that were raised, you kept some of them into your own pocket. Immediately, the whole foundation collapsed, charged in court and jailed. It's the end of the story. What happened to my three cups of tea? I threw that away. And I don't mean my tea, the book. Because it's bogus. It's not true. Why would I want to read about something that somebody imagines, somebody tries to sell it, and it was a very well-written book too. It doesn't matter how well-written. The question is it true? Who are the writers? And we are told that these are people who are holy. These people are prophets. And most important of all, that the Spirit of God was in them and the Spirit of God helped them to write carefully. So when I read the scriptures today, I know that I am reading something that is not made up by people, right? Now, this is important. So no matter who they are, you know, okay, you have a book that is written by, the teacher Janelle, and she said, this is the Bible. Well, no matter how much I may regard her, I don't think what she writes is of any same scriptural authority or power at all. Right? So I ask, are you a prophetess? No. Okay, forget about it. Oh, okay. So how about Pastor Ben Kwa? He's a nice man. He's a good man. Right? Ask her, is he a prophet? No. Right? I mean, get you something to say? So you got to check the credentials and see who wrote what, and then you check it out and ask yourself, how does this work? And if it doesn't work, you know what? I'm not compelled to ask you to believe in anything. Right? So this is where the Word of God comes in. Now, so we have to ask ourselves, if you were to ask yourself, what is it? Now, I will tell you my own journey when I was your age. When I first was, now first and foremost, my family wouldn't buy me a Bible. So I saved my money. And I saved, and I know it was a lot of money then. Okay, a Bible that cost $23.75. Right? Then, that money, okay, 50 years ago, well, more than 50 years ago, 60 years ago, $23, it's a lot of money. Right? See, when people go to school, you are given just $1. And after you went to the canteen, you still have got coins left. You can buy a whole bowl of mipo for 30 cents. Can you imagine? Today, nothing less than $3, $4. That's it. So you just imagine, right? The 30 cents and $3 is a lot of difference, right? So $23.75 was a very, very, very special. I still remember what it was like. It was a Bible that was a zipper with inside, and I read it from cover to cover. Did I understand it? No, I just read it. Why? Because I want to know what the Bible says. So within a few years, I knew every single story in the Bible from Genesis to the end. Did I understand? No. Can I teach from it? No. Can I share from it? No. But I read. That's where I began. Over the years, the more I read, the more I am absolutely amazed at its accuracy, at its depth, at its relevance, as its practicality, and I can add a lot of more adjectives to describe what the scriptures really are like. See, but this morning, before we take a break, let me just say this. What was important to Abram that caused him to worship the Word of God? What was it that guided him in his walk with God, the Word of God? What did he fall back on? The Word of God. What did he go forward with? The Word of God. What was in his heart and his mind? The Word of God. What did God promise him as a covenant? The Word of God. Can you see what I'm trying to say? It was just simply the Word of God all the time. And young people, let me seriously encourage you. Set aside time. You may not understand. Maybe the King James Bible is very hard English. Okay, find a, you know, what we call an ESV today, the English Standard Version today. If that will help you understand it better, read it. But you cannot use it till you understand it, you read it enough, appreciate it enough, and you can live by it. Otherwise, you can't. So the challenge today is, let me ask myself, how can I look at it? How can I use it? How can I understand it? It's got to start somewhere, right? If you don't have a Bible, you don't, and if you really want what we have won now, and you don't have $23.75 saved, we can help you. But the challenge is to read the scriptures at all. A lot of people don't. They take it or leave it. What? I'm one of those people, if I want to read a book, I want to finish the book. Right? So what have I read? All the books about Sherlock Holmes I've read. Short stories, long stories, every... Why? Just interested. Is that very useful? Not really. Is there such a person as Sherlock Holmes? Not really. But you know what? You read it. And I've read a lot of other authors as well along the way. Right? Now, I have to ask myself, why would I read them? Interest. Why would I read the scriptures? More than interest, importance. Right? So the challenge is to begin reading the scriptures until the word of God really, you understand it, it comes alive to you, it's meaningful to you, and then you can use it. And a lot of people don't know how to use the scriptures very much at all. Now, think about these things here. So we stop here for a while, right? Because we are just going to look at Peter. Because I'm going to introduce to you Paul. Now, we need a bit of a break between two writers, right? They approach things a bit differently, but both of them focus on the one thing, the Word of God. So if you were to ask me, if there were three things in my life I want to know, if I look at the macro picture of Abraham's life, three things stand out. It would be worship. It would be his walk. It would be the Word of God. But the Word of God is the one that powers that worship. The one that really feeds him to know how to walk wisely. It was always the Word of God. Right? It may be a vision you remember. It's a dream you want to remember. See, most of us, we have a dream, but we don't remember. You know, 10 minutes after you, it's gone. But the whole night through, he kept you awake. You were dreaming about this and that, but it's gone in the morning. If that's the kind of thing here, that's not great. So God, in his wisdom, gave to us what we call the canonical scriptures, the Bible that you have in your hands today. Problem, we have not read much of it. Problem, we don't understand much of it. Problem, we don't know how to use it. Well, this is where today I want to help you to learn how to relate to the scriptures a little bit more. Think about this, right? And I'll be very happy to help you to read. So if you really say, okay, let's have a session where we want to learn how to read the Bible better, be very happy to help you to learn how to do that. Okay, think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to read and to know your word a little bit more. Teach us how we can understand the scriptures and to let the scriptures become a very real part of our life, leading us, guiding us, helping us, inspiring us, challenging us, correcting us, and in so many other ways, be a blessing to our heart. We pray that you would help us to learn to love the scriptures, to begin a new love for the scriptures in a way that will help us for the rest of our life. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.